My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular upon us singing up, yeah.
Dirty old part of the city where the sun refused to shine. People tell me there ain't no use in trying.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Final hour of the Outdoor Show today already. Going by fast. All right, no better way to start off the last hour than with Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. Good morning, Cliff. How you doing this morning?
Oh, good, Mick. I just watched the storm just kind of skirt down the coastline there. Just missed us. I tell you, I thought for a second it was going to hit us, but it just it kept on going down the coast. But we're all good here. All good.
Yeah.
It's doing like you're doing, fighting mosquitoes.
Oh, man, y'all got them bad after that storm.
Yeah, you think? try to get in a boat and get it going, you know, as fast as you can, because they're eating you alive at the dock. God almighty.
Yeah, all the rains along the coast this morning. I'm looking down your way right now. There's some right there by you headed towards Rockport, and everything's moving to the east right down the coast, man.
Yeah. It's I'm hoping to fish the surf again. Our fish has just been good fishing this week on big trout, but I'm catching most of my big trout on Laguna Madre. I fish the surf a little bit, and it's just changing. And we had that dirty water come from the north, I guess, from all the rain from the storm eventually, and had a couple of days where it turned brown again and had seaweed. Now it's clear again. So it's just really on and off, you know. Mm-hmm. Yesterday they caught some fish in the surf. Day before it was too much grass and weeds, but the Laguna Madre is just insane good. You know, I just got it to myself. I run way south on Monday, and I get down there. I just love the summertime when you got it's going to be calm in the morning. You know, you got that pattern where it's just not, you're not fighting the wind. You're not fighting nothing, you know. And I get down, and I got three really good fishermen, and one of them is an old-timer. All of them are older than me. That's unusual to have. I think one of them, I think Jacob was younger, but most of the guys in my boat were older than me, and it's unusual. So, anyway, I got this one guy, he's an old-timer, and he fished with some of the old guys I used to fish with down here, Tommy Nims and all these guys I used to fish with down here all the time, and Pete. And all, you know, it's just crazy to hear all the stories. And he's got a bone-color super spook on, and we're throwing down on these grass beds, and we're catching 4 to 5, maybe 6-pound trout. I mean, it's fast, and they're just blowing out of the water. Mickey's just... the sounds where they're eating it, you know. Every once in a while they miss it, but they were eating, you know. And I'm going along, and all of a sudden I get to a little slough like this, and I pull in there, and the guy in the back, John, fired way back in that slough, and he walks that super spook about 10 times. It looked like a toilet flush. I go, oh, that's a big – you can just tell it's a big fish. It has that hollow sound, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It has a hollow sound, and that fish is taking drag, and he's just smoking, you know. And I get everybody in, and I go to the back of the boat, and I got a boga grip in one hand, and I got the dip net in the other. I'm going to see how the fish is hooked.
Right.
And it's a big fish. It's over 28 inches. It's 7+, you know, and it finally comes to top of the water. I said, that's a big old trout, you know. And so he's got the super spook. He's like he's sucking on a carrot. It's just like he's stuck in his – so weirdest looking thing is stuck right in the tip of his mouth, and he's got the back hook and the roof of his mouth, and – just barely, the front hook's barely sticking out of his front mouth, but he's got his mouth pinned shut where I can't get the boat grip to snap onto it because he's got his mouth shut. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do here? This fish is not going to fold in that net. I said, try to get him in this net. It's going to be hard, you know, because I don't want to stick that plug. So he's coming to the boat, and he's sucking on that plug. I think, man, if I stick that front hook in that net, it's game over.
Yeah.
And so I waited till I got right next to the boat, Mickey, and I dipped down deep, you know, and he kind of folded up in the net, and he does one little thrash, and he opens his mouth a little bit, and that front hook hangs in that net, Mickey, and now he's teeter-totter. He's teeter-totter. He's like a trampoline strategy. I can't fold him. I can't do nothing. And he comes off and rolls off in the water, you know, and John, the guy back, he's caught a lot of big fish, thank God. You know, there's nothing I replayed that in my mind over and over.
Yeah,
I said, well,
you can do. Yeah.
I just, you know, I couldn't grab him. I couldn't reach in there with that hook in his mouth. So anyway, we lost that pig. It was a pig. I mean, it was 7+, you know. And of course, he just, you know, ties on and fires back out there. He's caught so many big fish, no big deal. But I think I felt worse than he did. You know, I just think, man, what did he do in that case? You know, I should have had maybe a bigger net with a bigger any bigger net than that, it's not going to fit in the boat. People be tripping on it. But that was so cool. But man, then about 10, 11 o'clock that tide started moving a little bit, Mickey, and you could not get one back. It was stupid. I don't care what it was. If it floated, it got smoked. And, you know, that day we fished till probably 1 or 2 o'clock and never took the topwaters off. Never took the topwaters off.
It's topwater time. You know, everybody rushes it thinking, man, these fish just don't eat topwater. I said, just wait till the hot summer and see what happens.
God, we'll
just go crazy over them in July and August, especially up here, and I know they do down there, too.
Yeah, it's just this topwater bison thing. So, yeah, it's about 1 o'clock, and I normally don't fish this late, but it was kind of that day we had that Sahara dust stuff, and it was kind of cool. You know, it wasn't really hot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't head into
out a little bit for you.
Yeah. I've got an hour and a half run back, you know, so I took off about 1:30 or so, and on the way back, Jake goes, man, I sure like a flounder. And the tide is super falling out, and I thought, well, I know a flounder hauling way back, but it doesn't really work on this low tide. We pull up there, he pops out 10 feet from the boat, he catches the flounder. I said, okay, Bubba.
There you go.
This day's work, you know, so he gets his flounder, piled back in the boat. Everything is really good, you know. So the next day, I'm really excited. I know, you know how you get pumped when, as a guy, you know you're on them, and you know you're going to catch them the next day.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's just
you
like,
can't sleep
you know,
at night because you know you're
just know they're there.
Them. Yeah.
And you're just hoping everything works, hoping the boat doesn't break, the trolling motor doesn't break, you know. So you just – and so I said, well, I'm going to put in at Burl Island and just go way south. So I just had one guy, another John from Dallas, just a really good guy. And we put in, Mickey, we run down there at daylight. We get there at daylight. God almighty, what a bite. It was just – I got him on the front, and I've got the trolling motor controller, and I'm just keeping parallel with these big grass beds. And I pull him up to one, I cock it sideways, he fire up there, and they just explode on it, you know, just this one after another big trout.
Awesome.
So we're going along there, and about 9 o'clock, there's this big slough coming up. And I said, man, yesterday we lost a big fish in this slough. So John fires up in there, and he's throwing a she dog, and you hear that raspy, rah, 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 and it just, like a train wreck, this huge explosion, then it, nothing. It's gone, it floats back up. And then this little dink hits it, thunk, little fish, and he's reeling this little fish in. It's like 10 inches long, you know, and it's a little bitty rat red. Right when he gets to the boat, Mickey, he stops it to shake off, and this fish come out from under the boat, tries to eat that red fish. That would blow your mind, Mickey. This was a pig, dude. It was such a big trout, and he's just doing that circling underneath, just about a foot in the water, like a big shark trying to get that thing. And, you know, we're trying to let him eat it, and finally he just sees us and swims off. But that was over a 30-inch fish. I mean, had that big old bottom lip. He was going to eat that little 14-inch, whatever that redfish, 10-inch redfish. He's going to eat that plus my topwater. But, you know, just like John and I were saying, man, it's so exciting to be in an area where you got beasts like that. You know, anytime that can happen, we can catch them, you know. And it was kind of like that day you and I fished where you reel a fish in. There's two or three fish under him, you know, trying to get the plug out of his mouth. So it was just
– Well, and it was you know, the next cast could be that big bite you're looking for. I mean, you got to go where they live, and they're living down there right now. I know I've got a better chance to catch a big trout down there than I do up here for now. So.
And the same thing's happening too, Mickey. As the water temperature gets hotter, they're moving south farther to Mansfield and Isabel.
Getting
you know, South
Potter's
on fire. Getting that cooler current, South Potter and Mansfield's on fire. And,
well, I noticed this week I saw some, I think it was yesterday, Joey Farah posted up some trout, and those were the longest, skinniest trout I've ever seen in my life. These giant heads on them, and they look like those snakehead fish, you know.
Oh, I know it. Well, we had a 27 that weighed 5.5. It's like, what?
You know, when you go down south where you're fishing, those fish just seem to be fatter down that way. They got more girth.
And it's just funny how you get into certain areas and you don't think fish are residential fish. They are, some of them. So you get into an area where it's miles and miles of flats, you know, South Pottery, Mansfield, those fish develop real long and skinny to chase that stuff down in the flats. Then you get up around Bath and Yelanka where they got a little structure to deal with, and they can hide behind stuff that get fatter, bulky, and have the link. So I think those magic fish are the bulk with the link, linked and, you know, included. But, you know, I listened to Sharky talk about that big fish he had the other day, 27.5, probably, you know, close to 9 pounds. But those fish up there that you guys got are so just hard to describe how much bulk they have at 27, 28 inches.
Yes, our resident fish here, they don't go anywhere. They don't swim the weight off of them. They just live in certain areas, and they've got so much food. The food source is just incredible, especially with the amount of shad we have. Jeez.
Yeah, you do have a lot of shad, and that seems to really put the weight on the fish, you know.
Yeah, it does. I remember we had a Trout Masters tournament in Rockport one year, and they had gotten a lot of fresh water. And they had a shad hatch. It was unbelievable. And those were the fattest fish that I've ever weighed in Rockport. You know, they just, I couldn't believe the girth on those fish. They look like Galveston fish. Pretty crazy.
God, that's neat stuff.
But
you know
been,
what we got right
they've
now?
They've been gorging on
Valley
shad
Hoo.
Forever.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the weirdest bunch of ballyhoo in the water right now. Unbelievable amount of ballyhoo. You look down, there's 10 ballyhoo in front of you. Those little, you know, like 6 inches. And you know how much those trout like those. Oh, my God. Just incredible. And shad, mullet. It was so cool. So Tuesday, I pull up the bank, and it's just dead slick. And I look up on top of this big hump, and there's at least 10 or 20 fish with their backs out of the water, Mickey. I mean, big reds, big trout, big drum. And they're in like 6 inches of water, half their backs out of the water. And they're maybe a foot to 2 foot, you know, from the edge of the holes, you know, where they're just pulling up in the flat, trying to get as shallow as they can.
Right.
And you talk about having fun side casting. Oh, my God. You know, it's just, you know, put a swim bait on and just throw it next to them and watch them just smoke it. But we were so busy on top water. You know fishing's good when you look over in the flats and you're snobbing big redfish tailing. Go, nah, man, let's keep catching trout. You know, it's just, you know, I don't have that option very long just to snob those big reds and some, you know, drum up there. And like, oh, let's keep the topwater bite going because the topwater bite was stupid and good.
You know? Well, yeah, I would have said the same thing. I'd have been in the boat. Man, it's you can't pull away
yeah.
from a topwater trout bite like that. Not for rubber.
I turned my phone on. I said, this is how good it is. I zoomed in on his plug. He threw it out, hit the water. I said, watch this. He rocks it. Whack, whack, whack. Smokes it, you know. I said, you know, can we do it again? I says, watch this. And the next time he pops it out of the water, hits the water, and almost smokes it. I said, when you can video on your phone and you can call the shot, it's hot. It's good.
Yeah, that's good fishing, man, any way you look at it. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back, buddy. Hang on. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are back, my friend.
That song reminds me of all the old James Bond movie we used to watch. Those were it, weren't they? We were kids. Yep. Like that was the movie, man. Golly, that was good stuff. But you know, I was going to make a correction. I said last week, so I had David Kittner, his wife Diane catches a big 30-inch trout, and he's on the Tomas Ranch. I think I said Junco Ranch, but he's the manager of the Tomas. I thought about that. I said, I bet David even thinks I'm stupid. I was, you know, that's typical fishing. I can't get all the names right, but sorry about that, Dave. That's the Tomas Ranch that he's the manager of. But golly, what a ranch. The deer he's got on that place is unbelievable. You know, he's right in that triangle, you know, the golden triangle there, and, you know, thousands of acres in there. And I love the stories where they start shooting their deer at 6.5, 7.5. You know, that's a game changer right there, Mickey. You know, when you start, when you have people and hunters that will hold back to wait till the deer gets 6 to 7.5 years old, you got some deer, you know. Anyway,
what do you do if a 5-year-old deer walks out and he's 200 inches?
They do that. He's done it.
And they let him
walk. He's done it, and he let them walk. That's how good the hunters are.
Boy, that's called, man, that's
good hunters. And my place, we can't get 4.5. A little 140 class pencil horn comes out and they shoot him at 4.5, you know. So it's just different hunters are different, you know. But those people I have in my life, they've never seen deer, real deer. They, you know, so, you know, we hardly ever see a deer over 5.5 in our place. And it's just, I don't blame them because all the people around us shoot them at 4.5 too. So, you know, so anyway, it's just funny how age is so important. Age is so important on deer and trout. You know, you get those trout up, you know, 5, 6 years old, they get pretty good. It's incredible.
Well, that's a good friend of mine. That's a problem he's got on his ranch is they protein feed and they don't shoot anything until it's, you know, mature like you're talking about. And invariably they'll be raising this one good looking deer that's like 4, 4.5 years old, and he's definitely going to be a book deer, and
somebody
he'll jump the fence during the rut and go to the neighbors and they crush him. And then they'll bring it over there and say, man, look at this beautiful deer, you know, and they're just cringing going, oh my God, we've been letting that deer walk, just knowing what he'd be a future Hall of Famer, and hey, he's dead now. That's a bad thing about, you know, low fence. The only bad thing about it.
Yeah. And that's what that was a game changer that the Parks and Wildlife and the fishermen, I say the local fishermen changed our deal for 20 inches. You know, you can't keep them, you know, over 20 inches. What this done is done. So you're in some big fish as a wade fisherman on top water, and you find these big fish, you know, they're going to get bigger each year. Then you don't have somebody come in behind you and take them out. Now they got to leave them. And so now that the fish you've been trying to grow up and get bigger in certain areas, deep structures and waste salvage, something, well, those fish now have a chance to get monstrous. You know, they can't take them out. So if you could do that to a deer, say, hey, look, man, you know, you can't shoot these deer until they're 7.5 years old. That'd be a big difference, you know, and just all the trophy quality,
well,
quality
I think
of trophy
you guys,
deer everywhere.
You know, y'all laid the groundwork for that 20-inch thing. Because y'all
we did it for years.
For so long, y'all were practicing that, not killing any fish 20 inches or bigger. And I think TPNW and a lot of other people saw the change in the bounce back as quickly as it was in your fishery, and they used that as an example.
You know what it was, too, Mickey, is we were able to do that because we had so many good fish. You know, you do that in a bay system where, man, they're not catching a lot of fish, and they finally catch a couple of 20s. They want to keep them or something, or bigger than 20. But now they're catching a lot of big fish over 20, and, you know, we're catching a lot. Why not just keep the smaller ones, you know? And that's what I had Monday and Tuesday. You know, nobody kept – I think they kept maybe a handful of fish to eat, but 2 or 3, and they were the small little males. They'd say, hey, is that a male? I'd say, yeah, he's grunting. He's 16 inches. Throw him in a box. He's a grunting male, you know. But you catch a little perfect little female, they don't really want to keep him. You know, they only can keep 3 anyway. And you know, during the day, you're going to catch 3 little males.
Well, when you're
or
catching that many fish, you can be selective. You know, you're going to get 3 perfect size each fish, you know.
Yeah, and you get a gill hook or something like that. It's a,
right.
You throw him in the box. But, you know, just think if you could do that with deer hunting. You know, it's just, oh, everybody got everybody.
It's hard
got
to throw them
page.
Back once you ground
no,
check them.
No, you can't. You ground check them, it's done. It's done.
You can't throw them back.
Mm-mm.
No, it won't be long, man. We'll be talking about dove, duck, quail, deer.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's hunting season's right around the corner already. My,
oh, I know. I talked to Freddie of. Yeah, Freddie went and filled up all the feeders the other day, all the protein feeders in our ranch. We're already, you know, just pouring the protein and cottonseed to them now. And what's so cool, we've had the right rain at the right time for the horns and the dove. We should have an unbelievable dove here with this rain we've got.
Well, that's what Blaine
I'm hoping says. Blaine's going to get. Yeah, I hope
he
Blaine's going to get them.
Stupid. Yeah. And quail, too. He's got like five or six generations of quail growing on his ranch right now, just hatch after
God,
hatch.
That's good news. That's good news, you know. It's those quail are so fascinating because, you know, I've been on this island for over 30 years, lived on Patreon for over 30 years. When I first moved here, Mickey, there were quail all over this island. You can't find one now. I don't know what happened to them. You know,
amazing.
You know, you don't hear them anymore, and they're still on the King Ranch. You hear them on the King Ranch, but you don't hear them on Padre Island like you used to. So.
Boy, I used to hear them a lot on the shoreline of Trinity Bay, a lot of quail, you know, over there between Anahuac and Smith Point. We used to hear them like crazy over there. But every once in a while, you'll hear some, you know, some bobs, but for the most part, nothing like years ago.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them, but when I first went to work for the Kennedy Ranch there at Sarita Safari, the amount of quail we had was unbelievable in the early 80s, you know, so, and it's kind of faded out. You have good years and bad years, but I'll never forget that when Bill Weeks, the quail guy, comes on the Kennedy Ranch and he had 230,000 acres, never been hunted. And we hardly got out of camp. It was, you see the quail truck barely get out of camp and stop, and the dogs locked up. You know, I said, man, this is crazy. But,
yeah.
That was some crazy quail hunting right there.
Well, that's quail country down that way, you know, between there and Blaine's, all through that area. Is just, it always has been the bird capital of the world. And, I mean, there's just not that many places anymore you can go and kill wild quail like that.
I was going to say that, you know, that's just kind of, you know, now I see other people hunt them in Oklahoma stuff, but they don't have near the birds we've got.
No, Blaine has these guys come from all over the country, you know, to shoot wild quail, and there's a big difference. They go, man, these are a lot harder to hit than those pen raised quail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy, it's a whole different,
concept. Yes, sir, it is. Just think if you had pen raised trout, how they'd probably be a little weak raised up in a pen, you know, but when they're swimming miles and miles and chasing stuff down, they're tough animals, God almighty. And that's what I realized the area I'm in right now with all the economy and everything's so expensive. It seems like it's really thinned out the long runners, the guys that really made the long runs every day, you know, fishing. It seems like the shorter limits have put the guys closer to the dock because they only got to catch three. And so the outside boundaries in my area are loading up with fish simply because the guys are not running the fuel to go catch three fish. They're getting their three fish within 2 or 3 miles of the bridge. So, actually, this limit thing has done more than just not take out fish. It's done more for places that don't have any boats now. You know, I saw maybe 2 boats Monday and Tuesday all day. It was just amazing. Nuts. And the sound just knows. You can just hear locusts, you know, when it's just dead, calm, quiet.
Right.
You know, and that's what we're missing right now. Try to find places in the outdoors now you can go and hear your ears ring. You know, that's the part I miss.
That's the last frontier down that way, man.
Yes, sir. If I get rid of the boat stereos, pretty soon what's going to happen, I won't be able to get away from the boat stereos. You know, somebody's going to be coming down from somewhere, and you can hear them 2 miles before they get there, you know.
You can hear them bumping from 2 and 3 miles.
Yeah, I know. It's good, isn't it?
There they come. Here comes the party animals.
Here comes the party animals, you know. But anyway.
Silence.
But I was going to tell you something. So Tuesday, I had that really good day, you know, with John. And it was just a perfect day. We're getting back in early, you know, it's like 12:30. And I pull my boat up on the ramp, Mickey, and I ease it up there, tie at the dock. And Bertano's got this ramp. It's just a big dump-off ramp. And somebody had, the night before, had backed their truck down in that ramp and pushed a whole bunch of bricks and haydock block down into the ramp because they didn't want to unload their truck. They just used the slope to back it in. And nobody knew it. And so all those haydock blocks and stuff are all over Bird Island, the boat ramp. And of course, I pull up there, back my trailer, and it wasn't there when I put it in the morning. But, you know, 12:30, it was there. And I pulled my trailer, didn't see it, you know. And so I pulled the boat up on the ramp on the trailer, and the last 2 or 3 feet, you know how you goose it just to nudge it up against the front, you know. Mm-hmm. I goose it here, bump, 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 bump. You know, here I hit something with my prop. It was all those haydock blocks right under the deal. And it just curled the tips up on my prop. I mean, what a way to end a perfect day.
Now, you know, what are you talking, haydock blocks? What are you talking about?
I mean, those big old giant blocks they used to put under trailers and stuff. Haydock, I think you call it those big old bricks, you know, those big giant ones, you know.
Yeah.
Like they used to block up trailers. And what happened is somebody looking for a place to dump stuff in the middle of the night. You know, people dump stuff and they couldn't
dump
unload them.
The boat ramp?
Yeah, because they use the slope of the boat ramp to push them out of the truck.
Oh, they slam on the brakes, cops stop it, and slide them all out of bed.
Yeah, and they slid them all out there. And you can see the cardboard under where they put it on a piece of cardboard to slide them off. And, you know, nobody saw it, you know. And, boy, when I came in, I hit those things and I told that park ranger there, and they put a couple cones up around that, but they're trying to get those stuff out of the ramp. So if you do put in the Bird Island, don't move the orange cones. Leave them alone. They're there for a reason, you know.
Wow.
I can't imagine how they're going to get those out of there.
People, man.
They just don't care. But anyway, so I had to come home and dig up an old prop out of the garage and, you know, put it on my old spare. So anyway.
That's not good.
At least it was at the end of the day, Mickey. At least I didn't do it going out. You know, that's the way I look at things. I wouldn't have caught those big fish if I'd have done that on the way out. So at least
wouldn't have. That would have been a bad way to start the day. My God,
I hate those mornings like that. You know.
Oh, we've all had them. Oh man.
Oh yes. You know. Gosh. I remember some of the best days ever and go out in the motor blows or something halfway out. You know, that's one thing about the old days, Mickey. Think of the breakdowns we had. Man.
I'm telling you, God. There was a lot of disappointment and heartache back in the day. You know,
I know it.
You know, I had one morning I was launching my boat, and usually I just tie the bow line off. You know, I just hang the loop over the winch handle. And I'll stop it, slide it off, and then get out of my truck and go down there and grab the rope and then pull it over and tie it off. Well, my guys were already there, and they wanted to help. So I said, yeah, hold this rope, and I'm going to slam on the brakes, and it'll slide off, and just pull it over here and, you know, tie it up to the dock here. Well, they pulled it straight in and came in a little hot, I guess, and the trolling motor prop hit the one of the pilings there sticking up, you know. And, boom, broke the blade off the trolling motor. And I go, oh, man.
God.
I said, I should have one under the hatch. I looked all over the boat. I didn't have it. And usually I keep a spare trolling motor in the boat.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason, I didn't have one. And I think I know where it went. It was robbed by my son to put on his trolling motor.
Yeah.
Boy, that made for a long day. But I'm going, man, we're going to have a tough time, you know, without a trolling motor. And,
right.
Luckily, I got on them so good I could use the big engine and set up just right and kind of slingshot in and turn her sideways, and boy, we'd get on. Mm-hmm. We had a phenomenal day. Just caught them.
God, not good.
And luckily, man. I didn't need that trolling motor, but boy, I was my confidence level went to nothing.
I know. That's right. The way when you get shot in the foot first thing in the morning, it's kind of like, dadgum. You know, now I got to do a lot different than what I was thinking I was going to be doing. And that happens to me like the day that trolling motor caught on fire, the board burned up. As soon as I put it in the water, I'm on some destructure. I'm just smoking the big fish. I look down, it sounds like toast cooking or frying egg. You know, I look at the whole
thing. He's frying egg on the front of my body. It's all like crackling and sizzling going on.
But luckily, I had guys that would wade fish, you know, so we popped out on the wade and we did good, you know. And it's so funny because Monday I had those guys, you know, those three guys, we lost that big fish. And on the way in, and one of them, the old timer, he loves to wade. He says, man, I just spend most of my time in the water. It's hot. You got a place in the way in, we could jump in the water. I said, yeah, man, let's go fish this point in Baffin. And I pull him there, Mickey, and we piled out on that point. Those fish were stacked. At 1:30, they were stacked on the deep side of that point where it pulls into a channel. And the current was running in that channel, and that water, that cooler water, deeper water, was coming across the point. And we sat there on Little John's and caught 23 to 26-inch trout until they said we're done. It was pretty cool.
That's nasty.
After we already caught those, we get back in the boat, and I said, well, you know, And that day turned, I didn't tear up nothing that day. You know, it was pretty good. I didn't tear up nothing. But the next day, you know, it was a good day. And the next day, of course, the tide had dropped out a lot, but we still caught him. But that was funny. The next day, I was going to have two perfect days. And nope, going to have to tear up something. But anyway. That's then amazing. I come home and I get in my old beach truck to take the dogs to the beach, and the brakes go out in the old truck.
Uh-oh.
So now, yeah, I'm coming up. You love this. I'm coming up in the driveway with no brakes, and I'm trying to time it just right, you know, where I don't run into the garage door.
Oh, no.
I missed it by a foot. It finally stops. And so I got a guy that will come over and fix your truck right in the driveway, and this guy comes over and puts new brake lines right in the driveway. So it's pretty cool to have the mobile mechanics now.
Yeah, there's a lot of mobile everything these days. Convenient. Yeah. Oh, you got mobile vets now, mobile pet groomers.
Yes, oh, I know.
Come groom your dog and bait it and cut the toenails and all that good stuff. Got a place out there by me. We used to use it a lot. My dog's so old now, it's too hard on her to try and get her up in that van. And
yeah.
I'm going to have to put her to sleep. I'm dreading.
I know they're getting that age. You know, I know it, man. I got a 12 and a 10-year-old.
Barely get up and get down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she just, yeah. You know, with that collapsed trachea she has, she gets a little bit excited. I can't let her out and let, you know, mm-hmm. except in the backyard where she can't run around. I mean, she'll overdo it and then has one of those attacks. And I'm going, well, this is it. This is the last one. She's had about five of them now. And I can't believe mm-hmm. she lives through it. Her tongue will turn completely purple.
Golly.
You know, for lack of oxygen, she can't breathe.
Oh, no. You know, my caring, our dog guy, you know, had to put Green down, that really good dog he's got with the titanium hips, you know. And that was a brother, one of my dogs. And it's like Mike says, it says, too bad that our dogs don't live longer. You know, if you get 10 years, you're lucky. You know, anything
I know, and
10
years, I'm real lucky with Molly. I've gotten over 13 years out of her.
Uh-huh.
Crocker
yeah.
gave me that dog years ago. Best thing anybody's ever done for me. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back.
All right, Mickey.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 641 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, my friend. The call dropped. How about that? That music got him. Anyway, no, it's let's see here. I got a little time. Let me check radar, make sure everybody's okay. I know that stuff moving from the west. I need to keep an eye on that for all our fishermen in Galveston. Anyway, let's see where it's at here. It's they're still a little bit offshore. I think it's breaking up. That's good. That's a good thing. Real good. All right, Cliff, we're back. That rare earth get you?
I guess. It just dropped me there. That was crazy.
Oh, well.
You just tired of listening to me. I understand.
With everything. Look at all that Microsoft mess yesterday morning.
Oh, my God. That was crazy.
I was amazed Jace got me on the air. We didn't think we were going to be able to get on air, you know, because a lot of broadcasters didn't yesterday. It was crazy, man.
My son got caught in Detroit. He had to go out of town to work, and he got caught at the airport trying to fly. And I hope he's getting out of there now, but he's
– Yeah.
Golly, he got caught, you know, right in the middle of all that stuff. He finally got power back. He didn't have power until a couple of days ago in Houston, you know. So he just now got his power back.
That's been a hot topic around here, literally.
You know, I know Fred. I checked on Fred. I said, man, you got electricity? Because, well, he's got one of those generators, you know, in-house generators. So he didn't lose it. But I think some of his doors blew in on these warehouses, you know.
My goodness.
A lot more damage there than we thought. That was crazy.
Yeah, that storm had a little more punch to it than originally anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Are things kind of going back to normal now in Houston? Or
still
got
issues? Coming back. I spent all week. I didn't even get to go out and fish this week. I spent all week putting my stuff back together around my plot. Uh-huh. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What a mess.
Did Plog get everything going again in his place?
Yeah, James? I think he got pretty much all done, his roof and everything. Everything's good for him. He's back on the water doing his thing.
It was funny how we finally got that, I guess that rainwater finally showed up here about 3-4 days ago in our surf. It turned brown again, and a bunch of, you know, funny looking seaweed we normally don't see. Then, you know, yesterday it cleared up again. So this,
you know,
surf fish
had,
is roller coaster.
Quite a few cases of Vibrio showing up, you know, with that
runoff
and everything behind that storm. So it's,
You were talking about some guy on the radio earlier. I think you're talking to Jeff Coat that got the Vibrio. What happened to him? Is he okay?
Well, I don't know. Lavelle sent me that. That's when James and I were talking about the, you know, if Lavelle sends you a text, you better duck and run.
It's, you're telling me that, gloom. Man.
It's not good. No, but, no, he was a, I think Jim knows him, good friends with him. And I've heard of the guy, Jimbo Sloat. I've never met him, but, he said that he's currently in UTMB, Galveston, you know, fighting a Vibrio infection. He was fishing a couple of days ago behind San Luis Pass.
Oh, man.
And well, this was a few days ago when it was sent to me, but he's listed in critical condition at this time, and his doctors say that there's several others there with the same infection, and it possibly could be linked to the hurricane and runoff.
I bet it is. Man, you know, a few years ago, one of the guys was out with the father and son, and the son cut his redfish, ran into his leg and, you know, finned him in the top right above the knee. And in the middle of the night, he woke up, his whole leg was on fire. They ended up amputating.
Oh, yeah. Throbbing and swelled up like a balloon, man. I mean, it happens fast.
That fast.
That's that. You know,
forget about peroxide. Carry you 91% alcohol, not 71, 91%. And just like the other day on, I guess it was Monday, I had a
they say bleach works too, you know.
Bleach, and that's what they use in Mexico. That's Mexico's trick, bleach. But so I had a guy, you know, stumble on a rock, and it's real easy to do when you're walking across these rocks. You get into a bunch of them, you can't get out, and you kind of fall down. You reach down with your hand, you kind of get scrapes on your fingers and stuff. Happens a lot. The first thing we do when we get the boat is put that 91 alcohol or a 91 alcohol pad on immediately,
right?
And get that stuff killed. And then I tell them, look, man, if you have any pain or redness, I said, don't even mess around.
Don't even hesitate. I mean,
no.
You'll know within a few hours, you start getting some throbbing and burn, you better go right then and there.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Don't wait. The longer you wait, the better chance you got of dying.
And so, Mickey, that's coming out of one area that's just got a bunch of stagnant water.
Well,
there?
You know, around the pass area is what I heard. You know, and there was some funky water, you know, coming out of the marsh and stuff down there after the storm and the runoff and all that. Not to mention, you know, you inundate, you know, all the flooding, you know, with the bull tides and everything, and all the whatever's on land, you know, all the bacteria and everything else comes back into the water with it, and just it's nasty.
And so now you lost your oysters because the fresh water is. Well, the fibrio is usually around oyster reefs. As people are telling me that, it seems like the oyster reef would be more filtered water. I mean, it's more back in sloughs. It's stagnant water.
Well, and you know that oyster shell content and everything. You know, like, you know how usually if you step on oysters barefoot or whatever, cut yourself with one, you'll get an infection if you don't take care of it. But it's not Vibrio. It's just, you know, from other bacterias. But it. Whatever causes it, it's just, it's amazing. You know, we just didn't hear about it that much when we were younger, and I don't know whether
they
it's
probably had it, you know,
maybe
they had
it
and nobody said nothing. You
know. My mom had it. She almost lost her right arm where she slipped on the rocks at the Tech City Dyke fighting a big drum, and she hit her elbow and just, you know, it scraped it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, that night, she woke up in agony, swelled up, and just, it was throbbing, and my dad rushed her to the hospital, but they called it a staph infection back then. They didn't have a, you know,
Vibrio vinovibus
or whatever it's called, a medical term, but it was pretty scary. But her doctor ended up putting an incision in there and putting like a drain needle in there and, you know, pumped her full of big time high powered antibiotics and everything. And she got over it. But one of my friend's dads was in the hospital room next to her with the same thing. And he ended up losing two arms and one leg.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing stuff.
Scary stuff, but it was the doctor he had treated it differently, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's only a certain kind of antibiotic that'll kill it. But you know, it's just so funny because it's usually I tell people when you start wading those sloughs and stuff in the summer when it's really hot, you ought to put your light waders on. Yeah, you ought to put your light waders on. You know, even though it's hot, go ahead and put them on. That way, if you get your legs scraped or something, you won't have to deal with it. But you know, luckily we don't wade in those sloughs. You know, of course I'm too old to wade in that mud in those sloughs. Now I wade the mouth of them.
Yeah, I stay out of that stuff.
So stay out of that
stuff.
That'd
have to be 9 pounders jumping out of the water before I do that. But
yeah. And you know, that's one thing the storm did for us, Mickey. It really cleared our water up. We still have a few pockets of dirty water, little areas of brown tide, but most of it's just beautiful right now.
And right.
It flushed it all out. And then our tide, I don't know if your tide dropped out, but Tuesday our tide dropped out super low. I mean, I'm seeing stuff sticking out. It was super, you know, just flushed out really high, I guess is what this means. So it should come back in.
And it helps our bays for that, you know, to get these flushings and influxes and, you know, the back and forth. That all that does is help things.
Yeah, yeah. Are your fishing picked back up since the storm?
Yes, yeah. It's about the same as it was. I mean, it's not off the chart phenomenal like you would think, but no, it's still good and holding on.
I'm keeping track of water temperature. So we had 11 days over 100 degrees at this time last year. We've only had two.
I remember that. Y'all lost a lot of fish that moved on
you. We did. Our water temperature is 3 degrees cooler on this date than it was last year. So hopefully, you know, we had a really hot May, but then we had the rain dump on top of that. So hopefully our fish will stay in our system. But I do see them, you know, heading to the channel walls, you know, the deep sand walls in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. But there's still, we still plenty of fish back in Alazan and Baffin and Yarbel, still up on the sand points in the morning. And we're finally getting into a pattern where at nighttime, the air temperature is cooling down below water temperature. And so we're getting that thermal cooling up on the sand, just which I love. You know, where you're able to get out in the morning on the white sand and those fish are up there for a couple hours. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you're waiting see around too. That water's clean.
Moving
you
around.
Sidecast to them.
Yeah, that's fun.
Look for
stuff,
those
man.
Long dark spots.
Yeah.
or that V, you know, that little bitty wake, you know, moving slowly down the shoreline.
Oh, I love that big pump. Those big trouble pump their tail one time and glide.
Right, pump
you know
what
big trouble pump and glide. You know, so but it's just so neat to see so many fish. Well, we have trouble now is there's all kind of drum and redfish mixed in with the trout. So you see a big trout up there in the flash. You can tell looking at his back and his spine. You see him. You want to get on him. Well, you're going to probably spook two or three drum or red trying to get to him. So you got to love it when you have to tiptoe around these other fish. But that's coming up in August. You know,
stealthy.
And I think Jay moved back down to Mansfield just so he could do that.
Yeah, he's back down there.
You know. But that's one of our
I talked to him for over an hour on the phone during the hurricane.
That was a great day.
He goes, what was that noise? And I said, man, that was another
tree. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I bet Jay glad it wasn't on top of him this time because he took one on the nose here a few years ago.
When he told that story, he told me that time about him and his wife riding Harvey out in Rockport.
And, I remember that story.
Oh, gosh. They ended up in the bathroom, in the bathtub or something.
I know it.
And she was not a happy camper.
All right, if he lived through that one, she's going to stay.
Yeah, there's no getting rid of her now. She's there for good. Jay finally found him one.
We had one hit in Mexico like that. We took the mattress off of the bed and held it in front of the plate glass window, the big sliding glass door in the bedroom so it wouldn't blow in. So we had to hold the mattress in front of the deal, you know, this. We've been through some of those storms. It's never, but the sound, just like Jay says, you never get over that sound they make. That wind sound, it just haunts you. You know, there's a certain sound. And when you got water and wind coming through the baseboards and around the windows and, you know, they're sealed in, you know you got some power for wind when it can come under the baseboard.
Oh, man, I spent extra money after Ike, after a little bit of the minimal damage I had. Uh-huh. And I put a new roof on, so I went, instead of going back with the shingles, I went with a, I spent extra money and got a standing seam metal roof. And then
there you go.
We put all new windows in, and I had no roof damage and no window leakage, believe it or not. So,
good deal. That's good.
But I got a friend down the road, his windows are fairly old. His house is about the age of mine, and he hadn't replaced them yet. Well, he will be now. He said, I can't believe how that much water can blow in through those windows, the edges of
it. It is amazing. You look back at those early storms, you know, 50, 60 years ago that hit Corpus and stuff, you know, people got devastated because there's no such thing as hurricane straps. There wasn't no double pane windows. And so they just got hammered. Now we're starting to learn, you know, the double pane windows, the hurricane straps, the stronger roof, you know, put your slab up on a pad, raise it up to the water levels. You know, that's what they're doing here on the island, Mickey. Some of these houses now are raising up 6 or 7 foot with extra dirt. And what's happening now, the houses that are below them are now getting flooded because they're up on a hill.
Well,
and all
yeah,
the houses around them are getting flooded.
Yeah, they've changed the way the runoff is, you know, with the building their slabs up like that. All right, Cliff. Well, hey, buddy, that was a quick segment right there. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you, man, give them a number, bud.
All right, Mickey, I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
Hey, Cliff, always a pleasure, and keep hammering them big ones on top waters, man.
I'm going right now, buddy. I'm going to surf right now.
Sounds fine. Well, good luck to
you, buddy.
You have a great weekend.
Right.
See you, Cliff.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Never met a girl could make me feel the way that you do. You're all right. Whenever I'm asked what makes a man.
morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 641 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, my friend. The call dropped. How about that? That music got him. Anyway, no, it's let's see here. I got a little time. Let me check radar, make sure everybody's okay. I know that stuff moving from the west. I need to keep an eye on that for all our fishermen in Galveston. Anyway, let's see where it's at here. It's they're still a little bit offshore. I think it's breaking up. That's good. That's a good thing. Real good. All right, Cliff, we're back. That rare earth get you?
I guess that it just dropped me there. That was crazy.
Oh, well.
You just tired of listening to me. I understand.
With everything. Look at all that Microsoft mess yesterday morning.
Oh, my God. That was crazy.
I was amazed Jace got me on the air. We didn't think we were going to be able to get on air, you know, because a lot of broadcasters didn't yesterday. It was crazy, man.
Oh, my son got caught in Detroit. He had to go out of town to work, and he got caught at the airport trying to fly. And I hope he's getting out of there now, but he's
– yeah.
Golly, he got caught, you know, right in the middle of all that stuff. He finally got power back. He didn't have power till a couple of days ago in Houston, you know. So he just now got his power back.
That's been a hot topic around here, literally.
You know, I know Fred. I checked on Fred. I said, man, you got electricity? Because, well, he's got one of those generators, you know, in-house generators. So he didn't lose it. But I think some of his doors blew in on these warehouses, you know.
My goodness.
A lot more damage there than we thought. That was crazy.
Yeah, that storm had a little more punch to it than originally anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Are things kind of going back to normal now in Houston? Or
oh, yeah.
Y'all still got issues?
We're coming back. I spent all week. I didn't even get to go out and fish this week. I hadn't spent all week putting my stuff back together around my plot. Uh-huh. You know? What a mess.
Did Plog get all everything going again in his place?
Yeah, James? I think he got pretty much all done, his roof and everything. Everything's good for him. He's back on mm-hmm. the water doing his thing.
It was funny how we finally got that, I guess that rainwater finally showed up here about 3-4 days ago in our surf. It turned brown again and mm-hmm. a bunch of, you know, funny looking seaweed we normally don't see. Then, you know, yesterday it cleared up again. So this,
you know,
surf fish
had, quite a few cases of Vibrio showing up, you know, with that
runoff I was listening
and everything
to
behind that storm. So it's,
You were talking about some guy on the radio earlier. I think you're talking to Jeff Coate that got the Vibrio. What happened to him? Is he okay?
Well, I don't know. Lavelle sent me that. That's when James and I were talking about the, you know, if Lavelle sends you a text, you better duck and run.
It's, you're telling me that, gloom. Man.
It's not good. No, but he was a I think Jim knows him, good friends with him. And I've heard of the guy, Jimbo Sloat. I've never met him, but he said that he's currently in UTMB, Galveston, you know, fighting a Vibrio infection. He was fishing a couple of days ago behind San Luis Pass.
Oh, man.
And well, this was a few days ago when it was sent to me, but he's listed in critical condition at this time, and his doctors say that there's several others there with the same infection, and it possibly could be linked to the hurricane and runoff.
I bet it is, man. Yeah. You know, a few years ago, one of the guys was out with the father and son, and the son cut his redfish, ran into his leg, and, you know, finned him in the top right above the knee. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the night, he woke up, his whole leg was on fire. They ended up amputating.
Oh, yeah. Throbbing and swelled up like a balloon, man. I mean, it happens fast.
That fast.
That's that. It
you know,
does.
Forget about peroxide. Carry you 91% alcohol, not 71, 91%. And just like the other day on, I guess it was Monday, I had a
they say bleach works too, you know.
Bleach, and that's also what they use in Mexico. That's Mexico's trick, bleach. But so I had a guy, you know, stumble on a rock, and it's real easy to do when you're walking across these rocks. You get into mm-hmm. a bunch of them, you can't get out, and you kind of fall down. You reach down with your hand, you kind of get scrapes on your fingers and stuff. Happens a lot. The first thing we do when we get the boat is put that 91 alcohol or a 91 alcohol pad on immediately,
right?
And get that stuff killed. And then I tell them, look, man, if you have any pain or redness, I said, don't don't even mess around.
Don't even hesitate. I mean,
no.
You'll know within a few hours. You start getting some throbbing and burn. You better go right then and there.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Don't wait. The longer you wait, the better chance you got of dying.
And so, Mickey, that's coming out of one area that's just got a bunch of stagnant water.
Well, it just around the pass area is what I heard. You know, and there was some funky water, you know, coming out of the marsh and stuff down there after the storm and the runoff and all that. Not to mention, you know, you inundate, you know, all the flooding, you know, with the bull tides and everything, and all the whatever's on land, you know, all the bacteria and everything else comes back into the water with it, and just it's nasty.
And so now you lost your oysters because the fresh water is. Well, the fibrille is usually around oyster reefs. As people are telling me, it seems like the oyster reef would be more filtered water. I mean, it's more back in sloughs. It's stagnant water.
Well, and you know that oyster shell content and everything. You know, like, you know how usually if you step on oysters barefoot or whatever, cut yourself with one, you'll get an infection if you don't take care of it. But it's not vibrio. It's just, you know, from other bacterias. But it whatever causes it, it's just, it's amazing. You know, we just didn't hear about it that much when we were younger, and I don't know whether
they probably had it, you know, maybe they had it and nobody said nothing. You
know. My mom had it. She almost lost her right arm where she slipped on the rocks at the Tech City Dyke fighting a big drum, and she hit her elbow and just, you know, it scraped it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, that night, she woke up in agony, swelled up, and just, was throbbing, and my dad rushed her to the hospital, but they called it a staph infection back then. They didn't have a, you know,
vibrio vinovibus
or whatever it's called, a medical term, but it was pretty scary. But her doctor ended up putting an incision in there and putting like a drain needle in there, and you know, pumped her full of big-time, high-powered antibiotics and everything, and she got over it. But one of my friend's dads was in the hospital room next to her with the same thing, and he ended up losing two arms and one leg.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Scary stuff. But the doctor he had treated it differently, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's only a certain kind of antibiotic that'll kill it, but you know, it's just so funny because it's usually I tell people when you start wading those sloughs and stuff in the summer when it's really hot, you ought to put your light waders on. You ought to put your light waders on, you know, even though it's hot, go ahead and put them on. That way if you get your legs scraped or something, you won't have to deal with it. But you know, luckily we don't wade in those sloughs. You know, of course I'm too old to wade in that mud in those sloughs. Now I wade in the mouth of them.
Stay out of that stuff.
I'd have to be
9 pounders jumping out of the water before I do that. But
and, you know, that's one thing the storm did for us, Mickey. It really cleared our water up. We still have a few pockets of dirty water, little areas of brown tide, but most of it's just beautiful right now. It flushed it all out. And then our tide, I don't know if your tide dropped out, but Tuesday our tide dropped out super low. I mean, I'm seeing stuff sticking out. It was super, you know, just flushed out really high, I guess is what this means. So it should back in.
And it helps our bays for that, you know, to get these flushings and influxes and, you know, the back and forth. All that does is help things.
Yeah. Are your fishing picked back up since the storm?
Yes, yeah. It's about the same as it was. I mean, it's not off the chart phenomenal like you would think, but no, it's still good and holding on.
I'm keeping track of water temperature, so we had 11 days over 100 degrees at this time last year. We've only had two.
I remember that. Y'all lost a lot of fish that moved on
We did. Our water temperature is 3 degrees cooler on this date than it was last year. So hopefully, you know, we had a really hot May, but then we had the rain dump on top of that. So hopefully our fish will stay in our system. But I do see them, you know, heading to the channel walls, you know, the deep sand walls in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. But we're still plenty of fish back in Alazan and Baffin and Yarbrough, still up on the sand points in the morning. And we're finally getting into a pattern where at nighttime, the air temperature is cooling down below water temperature. And so we're getting that thermal cooling up on the sand, which I love. You know, where you're able to get out in the morning on the white sand and those fish are up there for a couple hours. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you're waiting around. Too. That water's
yeah,
clean.
Moving
you can
around.
Side cast to them.
Yeah, that's fun
look for
stuff,
those
man.
Long dark spots.
Yeah.
or that V, you know, that little bitty wake, you know, moving slowly mm-hmm. down the shoreline.
Oh, I love that big pump. Those big trouble pump their tail one time and glide, glide,
right.
glide.
Pump
you know
what
tell those big trouble pump and glide. You know, so but it's just so neat to see so many fish. What we have trouble now is there's all kind of drum and redfish mixed in with our trout. So you see a big trout up there in the flash. You can tell looking at his back and his spine. You see him. You want to get on him. Well, you're going to probably spook two or three drum or red trying to get to him. So you got to love it when you have to tiptoe around these other fish. But
oh, yeah,
that's coming up in August. You know,
stealthy.
And I think Jay moved back down to Mansfield just so he could do that.
Yeah, he's back down there.
You know. But that's one of our
yeah,
best.
Yeah, I talked to him for over an hour on the phone during the hurricane.
That was a great day.
He goes, what was that noise? And I said, man, that was another tree.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I bet Jay glad it wasn't on top of him this time because he took one on the nose here a few
boy,
years
that,
ago.
Boy, when he told that story, he told me that time about him and his wife riding Harvey out in Rockport.
And, I remember that story.
Oh, gosh. They ended up in the bathroom, in the bathtub or something.
I know it.
And she was not a happy camper.
All right, if he lived through that one, she's going to stay.
Yeah, there's no getting rid of her now. She's there for good. Jay finally found him one.
We had one hit in Mexico like that. We took the mattress off of the bed and held it in front of the plate glass window, the big sliding glass door in the bedroom, so it wouldn't blow in. So we had to hold the mattress in front of the deal, you know, this. We've been through some of those storms. It's never, but the sound, just like Jay says, you never get over that sound they make, that wind sound. It just haunts you. You know, there's a certain sound. And when you got water and wind coming through the baseboards and around the windows and, you know, they're sealed in, you know you got some power from wind when it can come under the baseboard.
Oh, man, I spent extra money after Ike, after a little bit of the minimal damage I had.
Uh-huh.
I put a new roof on, so I went, instead of going back with the shingles, I spent extra money and got a standing seam metal roof. And then we put all new windows in. And I had no roof damage and no window leakage, believe it or not. So,
good deal. That's good
But
stuff.
I got a friend down the road, his windows are fairly old. His house is about the age of mine, and he hadn't replaced them yet. Well, he will be now. He said, I can't believe how that much water can blow in through those windows, the edges of
it. It is amazing. You look back at those early storms, you know, 50, 60 years ago that hit Corpus and stuff, you know, people got devastated because there's no such thing as hurricane straps. There wasn't no double pane windows. And so they just got hammered. Now we're starting to learn, you know, the double pane windows, the hurricane straps, the stronger roof, you know, put your slab up on a pad, raise it up to the water levels. You know, that's what they're doing here on the island, Mickey. Some of these houses now are raising up 6 or 7 foot with extra dirt. And what's happening now, the houses that are below them are now getting flooded because they're up on a hill.
Well,
and all the houses
they've
around
messed
them are getting flooded.
Yeah, they've changed the way the runoff is, you know, with the building their slabs up like that. All right, Cliff. Well, hey, buddy, that was a quick segment right there. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you, man, give them a number, bud.
All right, Mickey, I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
Hey, Cliff, always a pleasure, and keep hammering them biggins on top waters, man.
I'm going right now, buddy. I'm going to surf right now.
Sounds fine. Well, good luck to
thanks,
you.
Buddy.
You have a great weekend.
Right.
See you, Cliff.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.